Isn't it good to know that we do not have to clean ourselves up before we come before the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we would fail miserably. And when he says to lay down your burden, that's exactly what he means. Doesn't matter how you got there. Doesn't matter what the fault is or any of that. Lay down it. Lay it at his feet. He has promised to carry that. If you've read the note from the pastor this week, that was about God carrying our sorrows and God carrying our hurts himself. That's amazing, isn't it? Most of you have seen TV shows or where there's been a crime and there's been a lot of witnesses, and they bring all the witnesses in and they begin to interview them to describe what they saw. And it's amazing how people could be close to the same area and see something entirely different. They use words to describe the physical characteristics. They're looking for someone. And sometimes they say something like, you know, they look like so-and-so. Okay, I got that. Someone that they both know. The idea is to produce an image where the person that looks like the drawing can be found. Folks, that's a little bit what I felt like this week, trying to get a grasp of understanding the depth of God's love for us. We kind of have got that overarching theme of understanding God's kind of love. I know it's a little difficult to do as we talked about judgment last week, but hey, that's where we were at, okay? We found that in God's love, he judged our sin on the cross, and now we no longer carry that with us. The biblical Hebrew word for love is hesed. Hesed. It's hard to translate. Once again, Hebrew words have various meanings depending on where the dot is and so forth. But just look at this. Psalms 85, verse 10, out of the NIV, love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other. Bet you never read that verse like that, did you? That's what it says. Steadfast love, okay? So we've got love and faithfulness, steadfast love and faithfulness. And we've got loving kindness and truth have met together. And we've got mercy and truth have met together. Folks, that's all because that word hesed is difficult to translate. It's an idea of a cluster of ideas, his love, his mercy, grace, kindness, wrapping it all together in himself. Everything positive about God is found in the Hebrew word for love. There is no single English words or even two words, as in the case of self-steadfast love, is it sufficient. That's why we have the different translations. We'll read just a little different. Yet there must be a foundation it rests upon that will help us grasp a little deeper what God is talking about. It's kind of like an archaeologist. They discover a foundation somewhere. And from that foundation, they can make some intelligent observations about what life was like or how it was put together. Folks, there's a foundation that God's love rests upon. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I will tell you, you will not see the word love in this verse. Look for it all you want, but we will get there. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now I know you're kind of shuffling around a little. I don't see love, Randy. I don't see it in that verse, okay? When God created mankind, he placed within them his image or his likeness. That means he has blessed us with his characteristics, his thought process that we are to live through and respond to his creation. Psalms 8, verse 3 through 5. When I look at the heavens, the work of the fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you care for him. What does man mean to you, God? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings or angels and crowned him with glory and honor. What is God? What is man that you would crown him with glory and honor? Folks, just because we brought sin into his very good does not mean we no longer bear his image or likeness. It's resting within us. That is why every person, every soul is important to God and precious and needs to be preserved. It does not mean we are no longer crowned with glory and honor. Folks, your crown may be tarnished, but it's still there, okay? Nor does it mean we can never step back into that glory and honor granted to us by God if we squander it. Folks, that is a position that God has given us because we are His creation. This is part of the definition of chesed. Love that is unearned, undeserved, always desiring the best for. This means that we were created with the ability to love, rule, and manage God's resources as God Himself would do. We were created, given that ability to do that. The Holy Spirit today gives us the ability to love, rule, and manage as intended by God after salvation. As a born-again child of God, folks, we have become possible. Can you say that with me? We have become possible. Some of you are a little slow on that, okay? I got that. What allows God's steadfast love to be long-suffering and true? What allows Him to look at you and be patient? What allows Him to look at you and say, I know what's going on there, and I'm willing to wait? What do I need to bring into my life to allow this kind of love to flow in and through me? What do I need, God, to be able to love, to live, and manage as You have told? How can I move from full of potential to active practicing? Write that down. That's good. That's really good. How can I move from full of potential to active practicing, loving and living as God created for me? Folks, we find the answer in the Hebrew word dominion. Say, what? Dominion. Genesis 1:31, God saw all that He had made. It was very good, and there was evening and morning of the sixth day. Was God delighted in His creation? Oh, man. He was overjoyed. In fact, Jesus said, God so loved the world. We look at that as it's us, but He loved all of creation. Psalms 104, verse 31, may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in His works. God created all living creatures to be an expression of His nature, His plans, and His loving care. You don't care too much about sparrows, do you? God does. He does. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not much. Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care or will. God cares about every single aspect, every single created being in His creation. So dominion is not a word you would look and think about looking for love, joy, and peace. Now, dominion does mean sovereignty and control. But you know, Hebrew words are built upon root words for understanding. Most of them back then did not read. And a lot of the language came from before there was any real structure, if you will. So what God had to do was draw word pictures in their mind so they would understand using common everyday things. The biblical word for comfort contains the root word for a nursing child. Did you catch that? You have a child that's screaming, longing to be held, longing to be fed, and there's something comforting when they come and it's nursed and they become quiet. That's what the Hebrew word is. So dominion carries the idea of ruling, subduing, managing in the way that God intended, but the root part of it, the root part of the word means to lower oneself. Run that through your mind a little bit. The root part of the word dominion means to lower yourself. What's God saying? What's God saying? Dominion by lowering yourself. Dominion, serve by lowering yourself. Look at your world by lowering yourself. To lower oneself means to voluntarily adopt a position of lower status. Service or submission to God while resisting the urge for pride or self-exaltation. To lower yourself. It describes a deliberate conscious act of reducing one's own importance and relying on God's grace and wisdom. When God placed that there, it was a reminder to them that all creation belongs to God. every single part of it. Folks, your life belongs to God Almighty. Your spouse belongs to God Almighty. Be careful how you treat them. Your children, sorry, they're not yours. They were just loaned to you for a while. They are God's. The animals in your care, the people at your work. This earth is God's creation, and He longs for you to lower yourself, get away from your pride, your expectations, and all of that, and look at it from His perspective. Even a tiny sparrow is important to God. So, are you dominating remembering who you are and who they are? Are you remembering who you are as a created being and remembering who they are? How else are you going to know what is best for them? That's part of it said. Always doing what is best for the other. If Adam had spoken in Hebrew, he would have given the dog the name Kalav, which means like your heart. Ben Torah said, you want to learn about dominion, start with Sparky, your dog. Come down to his level, look in his eyes, see the loyalty, affection, desire to be with you, the unconditional love, and ask yourself, what does that tell me about his creator? Oh, Sparky might have just given you an important lesson about your relationship with God. We see God demonstrating this in Genesis 3:8. Mankind has sinned. They have brought pride into God's very good. And he comes down in the cool of the evening, and it says, and when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and I think this was common. I think maybe it was an everyday event. They probably looked forward to it on most day, but not this day. God still longs to come down in the relaxing part of your life and fellowship with you. He understands our minds are busy and we're doing all stuff, but He longs to have this relaxing time of fellowship with you. We also see the idea of lowering oneself in the New Testament. Ephesians 5:21, submit yourself to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what the word submit means? To lower oneself. To lower it. Not look through the eyes of pride or greed or anything else, thinking what is best for the other. We see God lowering Himself even deeper by walking into man's sinfulness. Genesis 3:6, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Folks, we never sin alone. We're always bringing someone else with us. Instead of lowering themselves, what did they do? I want to be like God. It sounds good, Satan. I could know right from wrong. I wouldn't have to go to him. They did not lower themselves. They didn't imitate their creator. They raised themselves up. Instead of seeking God's wisdom and truth, they chose to allow pride a place in their heart. Do we not do that today in our relationships? Yes. We allow pride a place. But Randy, I was hurt. I understand that. We don't act as if hurt is not there. But we don't respond through the hurt or our pride. We respond by imitating our Creator. I can almost hear the animals, maybe all creation shaking their heads going, no, no, bad idea. No, 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 shouldn't do that. And they injected pride into their dominance and the relationship. And did it make a difference? Oh, yeah. Verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. I believe they had the Shekinah glory of God shining within them. And it was just a beautiful experience. And now they saw themselves as sin. And they tried to cover it up. They sewed fig leaves together and make themselves loincloths. And then they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Maybe He won't find us. Maybe He won't recognize something is different. Maybe I can hide it. And we do the same thing with our sin. Same thing. It caused a separation between them and their Creator and themselves. Verse 24. God had to drive man out of the garden on the east side of Eden. He placed a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Folks, from that point forward, mankind has been trying to get back into the garden. And the only way back into the garden is the cross of Jesus Christ, in which all of that is restored. But it also caused a separation for them and the work God gave them. Verse 17, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. They had given up the glorious Garden of Eden out of their pride. But we see God lowering himself even more. Not just with a response of condemnation, but looking through the eyes of his said and answered, at this point, what does mankind really need? What do they need? Condemnation? He had every right to cast them and make them die right there. Every right. He chose instead to respond through chesed. They need a redeemer. Genesis 3:15, he said, there's one coming. From now on, you and the woman will be enemies, and will your offspring and hers. You will strike his heel, but he is going to crush your head. They need a covering. Verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Oh, I often wondered if Adam knew this one by name. Did he have to watch as their sin caused the death of something that he loved so that he could be covered? But we see God ultimately lowering himself when he literally stepped out of heaven and into flesh. Isaiah 9:6, God says, there's one coming. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's one coming, Isaiah says, because you need a rescuer. Luke chapter 2, 10 and 11, the angels, when Jesus was born. But the angels said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. That word good news in the Greek means I can't tell you how good it really is. So I'm just going to use the word good. It is so fantastic. That will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Folks, that is good news. That is such good news. And then the Apostle John, after walking with Jesus for those 3.5 years and sitting back and ministering and watching, he said, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. He said, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of condemnation. Is that what it says? Is that what it says, folks? No. Full of grace and truth. That word, the word pitched his tent among us is how it literally is. He didn't go to a castle. He pitched his tent among us. We find John the Baptist in John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, behold, I love that word, not just look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not just forgives the sin of the world, but takes the condemnation away from the sin of the world. See or observe a thing that is so marvelous, remarkable, impressive. There he is in the flesh. And God didn't just bend down and look in our eyes. He took upon himself the conditions of sinful mankind. Philippians 2:7 and 8. But he laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on the cross. Do not tell me God does not love you. Do not tell me there's no hope for your life. Do not tell me that there's nothing God can do for you. Jesus went to the cross so that you would become more than possible, but active participating. God is now justified. to redeem everything lost in the garden, everything, for those who walk through the cross of Jesus. There is only one answer to your sin, and that is Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness or righteousness into us. The NIV says, in him we have become the righteousness that God demands. In Jesus Christ, we have been restored, redeemed, reclaimed, whatever word you want to put on there. We are his. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, we have now been made possible. Possible. I can love like God because he rests within me through the Holy Spirit. I can manage whatever he has given me here on this earth through his eyes and his will because the Spirit lives within me. I can respond as God would respond. I don't have to respond out of hurt or pain or anger or bitterness or any of that because the Spirit of God rests within me. We have all the power necessary if we just turn him loose in our lives. We can set aside our human pride and become lower so God can become greater. You hear this in John the Baptist. Folks, you cannot understand how he was looked upon. He was a rock star, if you will. His star was rising great, and everybody was wanting to be a part of what John was doing. And they were trying to make Jesus and make him the Messiah. He says, no, there's one coming. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. He, speaking of Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. What I desire, what I want, what motivates me, become less and less so that I can become more and more like Jesus. That sounds a little like to lower oneself, doesn't it? It's exactly what John did. Folks, I want you to understand, this is the answer to all your relationship problems. Every single one of them is to lower yourself and not respond to the hurt and the anger and all of that. You lower yourself so that you may respond and love as Jesus did. It's the answer to your every relationship. It's the answer to your peacefulness. Knowing that he has you in control, your fear and anxiety, your self-doubt, your addictions, trials, temptations, eternal questions, anything you want. It's all answered when we learn to lower ourselves. What do you have? How do you want me to respond, Lord? I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that. How do you want me to respond? Because, Lord, if I respond to my pride, I'm going to slap him. Don't laugh at me. You do the same thing. How do you want me to respond? What do you want me to do? How am I supposed to manage my family, my funds, the workers I'm working with, my attitude? How do you want me to manage them? How, Randy? How can I allow Jesus to become greater in my life? Folks, this could be a message all its own. But it's a choosing to shift focus from yourself to him. It's a, what do you want? What do you want? A process involving dedicated time in prayer and Bible study. You don't know who you are until you've been in the Scripture. You don't know. But it's surrendering your will daily, sometimes minutely. Worshiping and serving others, actively living out biblical teachings like loving your enemies, using your gifts for his glory, keeping no record of wrongs. Love is patient and kind. It's about intentionally making Jesus central to your decisions, your actions, and your heart. It's allowing him to increase as you learn to let loose and decrease and finding strength and purpose in His presence. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for preserving for us your scripture this morning. Thank you for allowing us the special ability to be in them and to ponder them and twist them around in our minds. What does this mean for us? How am I supposed to use this, Father, in my life today and tomorrow? Father, my relationship is a mess. Help me learn to lower myself. Father, I'm filled with anxieties because I'm filled with anxieties because I don't trust you with my tomorrow. I trust me, and I'm so weak. May we begin to think, Father, as John the Baptist, in the height of his popularity, oh, Jesus, you need to become greater in me, and I need to become less. May people not see me when I'm about. May they see you. May my children not see me, but see you. May my wife, my husband, see you. Lord, we will confess that we don't know how to live like this. We know how to live prideful, and we know how to live through hurt and bitterness and all of that, but we don't know how to live through love, your kind of love. So I pray that you give us the spirit of knowledge and wisdom to know how to take captive every thought and bring it into obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we are weak, but you are strong. We are self-preserving. You are loving-preserving. Now, God, you lead us, and you've led us to a point of decision. From this point on, what's my life going to look like? Is my relationship with my husband or wife in shatters? What do I need to do, Father, to give you something to use instead of just sitting back and wallowing? Have I got this child? And Lord, just, I don't know what to do with him, but you do. Help me lower myself and look at them as you do. The people at work, people in the grocery stores, the ball games. Lord, Father, I pray that you just give us that peace that Paul says passes all understanding when we truly just say, it's yours, Father. It's yours. Help me walk as you want to. Give me strength. Give me confidence in you and in your word. And Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. You are so awesome. So wonderful. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the filling of the Spirit of God. Now, Father, open up your altar. And I give you the praise for your name alone. Amen.